Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
KP, what we do now?
Hey, what's that show?
It's the VC show.
Hey, what's that show?
It's the VC show.
Hey, what's that show?
It's the VC show.
It's the VC show.
Season 2, let's go. Show season 2, yeah, we back again. Got the world tuning in for show, so go and tell a friend. iHeart got me on the squad, I slam dunk the win, so go on there, kick your feet up so you can listen in.
Hey, what's that show?
It's the VC show.
Hey, what's that show?
It's the VC show.
Hey, what's that show?
It's the VC show.
It's the VC show.
Season 2, let's go!
Okay, welcome to the VC show. I'm your host, Vince Carter. I'm so excited that season 2 is finally here, thanks to iHeart. This season, we have a new theme song, shout out to KP and the colleagues, and a new look, but still the same old good conversation. So kick your feet up. The VC show starts now. All right. To kick off this new season, I had to go deep into my bag and go get my guy, my dog. A guy I will be forever linked to for a lot of reasons.
A lot.
He was Mr. Basketball, North Carolina, 1995. McDonald's All-American. Three-time first-team All-ACC selection. Y'all just sit, keep your feet up. Like I said, it's going to take a while. ACC Player of the Year in 1998. Consensus first-team All-American in 98. National College Player in 98. So that tells you everything he did in 98 was killing. Has number 32 retired in the Raptors, fourth pick in the 1998 draft by the Raptors. And if you're confused, yes, he was traded with me to go to state. Two-time NBA All-Star, 2005-2008, NBA Sixth Man of the Year in 2004, and currently Director of Pro Personnel for the Wizards, Providence High School's own Antoine Jameson. What's up, my guy?
Hey, man, I'm not surprised at all with the introduction hearing the intro. So all those days being your sweet mate and hearing all that music, just waking me up, is paid it's, off.
Yeah,
so good job, my brother.
Yeah, man, you know, I was practicing.
Always a pleasure.
I was practicing yeah, for 30 years later. Oh, man. So everything's good with you, man, right? March Madness is here, brother. March Madness is here, obviously. I think we both are rooting for the same team. You know, you have the Carolina shirt on. But what have you enjoyed by watching college basketball this year so far? Because I know you watch a pretty good. When I watch the Carolina games, and they usually scan right. I mean, pan right by the bench. I always see you right back there. So you know, you get a text from me like I'm jealous.
Yeah. It's been good, man. You know how it is. And you don't go off, you don't go back as often as I do, but you know, every time I make that drive, man, it just goes back down memory lane to freshman year and those 3 years at Carolina. But, you know, just not Carolina basketball, but just college basketball in general. It's just been fun to watch. I mean, you've seen guys put up crazy numbers. You can see how physical the game is. You know, it's just fun to just sit there and watch the game at home. But going back to Carolina and some of these other colleges to, like, to get the atmosphere. I was just at the Big Ten tournament, Big 12 tournament, man. And it's this unbelievable time to be a fan of college basketball. And
on both sides.
As you've seen watching it. On both sides, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I got to throw that out there.
To be honest, I'd rather watch the women play.
I was going to say that.
Yeah. Than sometimes the men, because the women
are getting it done.
They don't play around. And I'm glad they're getting their flowers because just because you're a woman, you can't show the same emotions or you can't be as intense as the guys.
Well, they don't think they have the same talent as us, and we're seeing otherwise. Man.
I mean, they're more skilled, and I mean, just the way they play the game of basketball, man, it's been fun to watch. So just in general, men's, women's college basketball has been a fun year, and I've been enjoying it, so it's been fun.
And you can tell that women's college basketball is an all-time high because of, you know, if you look at the money list, and I say this conversation all the time, but this is how you kind of put it in perspective, in my opinion. You look at the money list of, you know, NIL earnings. You're not going to see all just men's players. You're going to see a laundry list of female players up there who've earning. And that just says a lot about what, who, you know, the popularity, obviously how good they are as players and how important they are to the game. So, I mean, shout out to all of them, you know.
I mean, they have a following and these companies recognize that. Back in the days, if you went to a college basketball game, you might have half of the lower bowl field. Now, if you go to a college basketball game, Vince, I mean, I'm talking about 20,000 people sold out to watch these women play. And these companies realize that they have a great following. They have all these young ladies who want to be like their idols and things of that nature. And you see what these women are pulling up, shooting these threes.
Forget
and
that.
Just like the crossover.
No, they're transition dunking. What are we talking about here? They're dunking. Yeah. You know, that catches my eye already. I'm like, what? These girls are athletes now.
Yeah, so it's been fun to watch. So I'm glad they're getting their flowers once again.
And you know, I mentioned NIL, and I'm gonna throw this at you, and I know you get asked often. I get asked about it often. Could you imagine what NIL would be for you, Antoine Jameson, from 1995 to 1998? And I, before you say anything, I get asked the question, and I know where I was as a player, and I can't imagine. But for you, yeah. I listed.
I would have been below you a little bit. So, yeah, I could.
Yeah, right. Stop it. You want me to go back and mention this list? Obviously, three-time first-team All-ACC selection for 1998 alone, just junior alone, like leading up to it. Obviously, that was, you know, obviously the wars come at the end of the year. Leading up to it, obviously, there was the hype and the buzz of the potential. Come on, man. I just can't imagine. Plus, I mean, and just locally, I think the appeal that we as a team had, particularly us being around for 3 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not like, oh, the new freshman kids coming in. Like, we were there for 3 years, so they were familiar with us. So I feel like after our freshman year, man.
But just think about it, Vince. As I go to these games, I'm still in the state of North Carolina, and I hear so many stories about, for one, it lets me know how old I am, but man, when I was a kid, man, I used to love watching you, Vince, and Shimon, and Ed Cota, and they're like in their 30s and stuff, but it's amazing the influence that we had, not on ourselves, but of course all these other colleges as well, but it's about time, because the NCAA was making so much money off of the student-athlete, and think about my parents, your parents, were fortunate enough to be able to afford traveling, to be able to go to San Antonio for the Final Four. But you have some players who might not have that privilege. And I think with NIL, it helps out families who are in need, but also it gives them the opportunity to go and support the child, whether it's women or men or whatever sport. But it was about time. Of course, they should have had some kind of parameters on how to navigate through all this. It's been kind of a mess a little bit. But to hear that the money that some of these athletes are receiving, it's life-changing. I think it was about time.
Yeah.
It's life-changing. Yeah. And I think it's good that these student athletes get the opportunity to make money off their name, image, and likeness and be able to support their family, because there are a lot of athletes out there who needed that and, you know, long overdue. You know me, I'm always for people getting their bag, getting what they deserve, and all these athletes deserve whatever they're getting.
Yeah, and I'll say it once and I'll say it again, and every time I have this conversation, I feel the need to say this. I just hope the universities that are providing and putting these young student athletes in the position to earn this money, you also teach them how to save their money. Teach them the importance of the tax bracket that they're in now, because they weren't in a tax bracket prior to this. We weren't in a tax bracket in college. These kids are now in a tax bracket. And they have to understand how to save and pay, you know, Uncle Sam accordingly. I mean, and I think that's important, but it prepares them for life, because I want these kids to understand. And then the other side of that, Twan, and I know when I say this, you will agree to this, I'm pretty sure. While these kids are making this money, I want you, the athlete, to still stay hungry and still want to be the best player that you can possibly be. And I will say this every time. I don't care who I'm on a podcast with, whoever I have a conversation with, you will hear me say this every time. I want that athlete, yes, go earn your money, but still have that hunger and desire to be the best player you can be, because for those who want to go to the NBA, this is the position you're going to be in now. You're going to earn millions of dollars and still have to perform. You still got to be the best player. So I just hope we help them obviously just learn how to save their money and do the right thing.
Well, I think to piggyback off that, there has to be a test of the university. Think about how we're prepared, you and I was, and just about every a player that came through Carolina basketball. Mm-hmm.
No, that's a fact.
When we got to the NBA event, remember the media training we had on how to talk to the media? Yes. We dressed a certain way. We carried ourselves. We practiced a certain way. So that was the easy adjustment for myself. Mm-hmm. Is like Carolina was already ran like a professional organization. Mm-hmm. Of course, the game was different, and that's where I had the adversity I had to fight through, but the university prepared us for not only basketball, but for life. And on which you, a lot of these kids are getting this money and don't understand that they have to pay taxes. They don't understand about savings and things of that nature. And imagine when we got drafted, 3 years of college, once we got paid that first paycheck, how many people, how many vultures was coming our way? Your mom, unbelievable job. My parents did an unbelievable job as far as creating that bubble and making sure we weren't getting taken advantage of. But it's so difficult, Vince, when you're like a 17, 18-year-old kid and you're making that money. And a lot of people feel like there's a lot of people from outside the family that take advantage of these kids. But a lot of the situations...
internally.
Hey, you remember I was back there rebounding for your nephew? So it's those scenarios that... you know, these kids really have to take in consideration, because that's how they're getting taken advantage of as far as receiving all these benefits at such a young age.
Yeah. I mean, that's well said, and you're 100% right. And I think every NBA player can also say this, and some people say, no, it never put me in a predicament, but it puts you in a predicament or tough situation where you kind of have to make that decision. It's like, yeah, you did look out for me and I'm going to do my best, but it's not like I'm going to put you on salary because, you know, not like I'm going to give you money because, you know, and it's just, it's one of those tough situations that I encourage every young athlete who's making any kind of money of some sort to, if you can, nip it in the bud, handle the situation early. And then, you know, later on, it becomes easier because it's already understood.
Yeah, the problem is, and I can recall how many family members I fell out with or didn't talk to, how many friends who I thought were my friends. Right. And once no was said, that's when you realize who is really there for you and want to be part of your success. But you have to come to, you know, a standpoint where it's about you're in a situation where even in college, you can create generational wealth. Mm-hmm. So for me, when I start having kids and like being able to buy my mom and dad a house and they don't have to work anymore, I was like, I like this, but I can't stop here. I want to be to the point where I don't want my kids' kids to ever work again. But it's tough. It's like I said, we had that support system that helped us navigate through. All of a sudden, you got all this money. All of a sudden, you are in Canada. You from Florida. You haven't experienced a winter like not that. Like that.
Hey, my first day landing in Toronto, it was a blizzard. And I'm like, once I got there, I'm looking outside. I'm calling them. I'm like, hey, so.
Where the palm trees at?
For one. For two, we supposed to show up? Would it look like this outside? He's like, Coach Bud Carter said, you better be there on time. All right,
yeah,
I'll leave 2 hours
early. I mean, we had the support system, but it's unfortunate a lot of these individuals don't have that. And I just pray that the universities can help navigate through that. But it's tough these days, man.
With that being said, do you think after all of the success you had in 98, here comes 99, and NIL is there, would you have considered to stay? Caleb Williams, I heard cleared somewhere from 8 to 10 million. If that was a number that was around for you for NIL your senior year, would you consider staying or would you go? I mean, and I think I know the answer to this, but I'm just putting it out there because I know I'll answer for me first if it helped. It would depend on obviously situation. You know, someone like you, we were drafted top five, so we kind of knew what our money was going to look like. As opposed to maybe we don't get drafted, maybe later in the first round, second round pick. Now that NIL, you know, obviously depending on what it looks like, changes your scenario. So that for me, to answer the question, I think it would depend on where I'm going in the draft.
Yeah, if we were still being picked fourth and fifth, we both had the same goals, and that goal was to play in the NBA. That was a dream of mine ever since I was a kid, and likewise for yourself. And to be able to get that close to our dream, it would have been tough. But also, a major part of me leaving was I wanted to be there and help support my mom and dad and be in a situation where I could pay for my sister and my younger brother's college tuition. If my mom and dad didn't want to work, they didn't have to. But Vince, man, that was like, before I had kids, that was the best 3 years of my life.
That's a fact.
Between you, Shamon, Mac, Adi, Ed, Terrence, like Livis, like the people I met in college are still like my day one.
And I tell them people we have our chat, like our
group chat every time. Yeah.
I have 75 missed messages, so many people on there.
Yeah. So like I enjoy college, but to be honest, that amount of money was around and I knew I was going to be a top five pick, I probably would have still came out I take that back because for us, I love NCAA tournament. It brings back so many great memories, but also this is like, but to know we were so close.
We didn't finish the job, thank God.
But once again, that junior year, it was supposed to be a done deal. So let's say we do come back our senior year and
don't do it.
An injury or something like that happened. You just never know. Yeah. So, you know, just thinking about it, I probably would have left after my junior year knowing not only being able to support my family, but the most important part, that was my dream ever since I was a kid.
You could smell it.
To be able to compete against Michael and Scottie Pippen and those guys. And, you know, my first game is against Charles Barkley. And I'm just like, that was the dream. So I probably would have left. But like I tell you, man, that was the best 3 years, you know. Me and you at Great Hall.
I was about to say, I still remember, man, we got there early. Yeah. Automologist coming in from Germany. And it's times we just sitting in the hallway, nobody there, sitting on the steps of Grammy, looking outside, man, all right, this is where we're gonna be, man. Like, you know, what's good?
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of his stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed, and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, then look no further than the Marketing School Podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Sue. It is the number one marketing podcast in the United States and number 15 on business in the United States. And it has amazing guests such as Alex Hormozi, Layla Hormozi, Cody Sanchez. We pull in these amazing interviews with other people that are not only great marketers, but actual operators. And the icing on the cake is Neil and myself were also operators as well. So we share learnings from the trenches. We share secrets that we otherwise wouldn't be sharing with other people. And we also share other advantages that will help you get ahead of your competition. So all you have to do is listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What lured you into Carolina so soon? Because you committed as a sophomore?
Man, I committed after my sophomore. Going into my junior year, I committed.
What did it for you? Particularly that soon.
Yeah, the biggest thing is that I knew I wanted to stay close to home.
Okay.
So being from Charlotte, the ACC, the University of South Carolina was one. And then also the furthest I probably wanted to go was probably Georgia Tech. But I wanted to stay close to home because we originally moved.
Hey, y'all, let me tell you why he looked at Georgia Tech. I'm going to throw it out there. This is my man. I know Freaknik was still going on at the time.
That would be you, my brother, not me. People didn't realize that was me until like way. But we already knew when you came in there, Mr. Band Major. I mean, we go to these parties, I'm like, who is this? And it's like you turn into a whole different person. So you would have really.
Man, music was my life, brother, for a long time.
Yeah, but I wanted to stay close to home. And before I had, I went to the University of South Carolina and saw a game and went to NC State, I went to Duke. But I just knew once I walked on that campus, Vince, Franklin Street, like it just spoke to me. Once I went to the Dean Smith Center.
When you walked into that Dean Dome, explain it. Like,
man, you can never, like, every time I go, whether in the summertime or even to a game, Vince, walk into the basketball office, it's just like, it's the same feeling I had.
The same feeling.
The first time I went to the University of North Carolina. And man, I just knew
that's crazy.
That was where I was supposed to be. And I'm big on my faith, and things happen for a reason, but for some reason, God spoke to me, and like, this is it.
You knew.
I just knew. So I didn't want to waste anybody else's time. The biggest thing for my parents was free education. We don't have to pay for college. And I'm just like, I'm not changing my mind. So this is the place I know I want to go to.
And that's what's crazy to me. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, if everybody knows you, you know, like they do follow you through that time, like your sophomore year, you were number, you were top 1, 2, 3, top 3 in the country.
Yep.
before this guy Kevin Garnett came out. Yep. And then Ron Mercer. Yeah, I had to work my way up. So my sophomore year, I'm still looking all the way up for you folks. But it's funny because, like, you know, for me, Carolina was not even. I mean, obviously it would be a dream, but Carolina didn't come around until after my junior year.
Okay.
After five star.
Okay.
I played in a five star all star game. Tim Thomas, Steph, and Coach Smith came up to me in gut.
Coach Smith, yeah.
And yeah, they were like, you know, we're impressed. We want to, you know. We were very interested in you. We were beginning the recruiting process. And you know who was coming to see me play? Phil Ford.
Yep. No Coach Ford. Yep.
That was one of the first there. He's like, yeah, he's like, you might as well come here. Like, it was cool people. And, it, you know, so that's when I kind of got on the radar for Carolina. Duke had already been around. Florida State, obviously. Kentucky and Kansas. That was my initial. And obviously.
So what was it about Carolina for you? I mean, being from Florida, you seem like the type like myself, you didn't want to go too far away. And Florida State was an up-and-coming university. And all of a sudden, how did Carolina get this Florida kid? What was it for you that made you choose Carolina?
So, played in the tournament in South Carolina.
Beach ball. Yep. That's the first time we met.
Oh, that's right. That's when we first met each other. Yeah, and you know, I'd already had the visit plan, and clearly you knew.
Yep.
And you came up to me and, you know, introduced, we kind of have a conversation, and you said, I'm going to be there.
Yep.
And you might as well, you know, once you get there and kind of explain it to me, you know, you just hear like, okay, cool, you know, I'm here, but I got to see it for myself, And everything you said, walking into that office, meeting everyone from the staff, before even meeting the coach staff, and then obviously going into Coach Smith, you know, you remember, I don't know if you remember walking to Coach Smith's office.
Yeah.
He sit at his desk, he pushed the button, and all this stuff start closing and TVs coming on. I'm like, man, wait a minute now. I'm not used to this, sir.
Yeah.
And I mean, but just, like I say, it just felt like home. It felt like what I wanted, I was looking for. And, you know, obviously we as athletes, we're looking at the basketball side and our family. Obviously my whole family are all in education, so they're looking at, can my son – obviously get the best of both worlds. And that's what Coach Smith cared about. Yeah. Obviously, you know, we when we start practice and everybody who was affiliated with Carolina probably does that now, but we had to, you know our teacher's name. We had to sit in the first three rows.
Yeah. Damn, assistant coaches checking to make sure we was in class. Yeah, it was no
problem. Yeah. You know, before practice, we had to remember the word of the day. Boy, we used to sit there, rack our brains and remember one little sentence. Yeah. You know, but I mean, it just taught you how to prepare and taught us what was important. And obviously, as a student athlete, sometimes you don't understand that until you get older.
Yeah.
But it was ingrained in us, and obviously, guys before. So it was just
how often. And it's funny now, and I don't know why I was doing something. Like I catch myself every once in a while. The thought of the day is like either being implemented in my everyday life, or I remember right there as center of the court,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the thought of the day, man. And my dad has a lot of that stuff, and he had my old Carolina bag with my name on it and stuff like that. And it had like that thick of a wad of the old practice schedule, thought of the days, and things of that nature. And I'm just sitting there
kept that is impressive.
It's crazy that. And that's why we love him so much, man. Him and Coach Guthridge and even Coach Smith. I see Coach Hannah's all the time and Coach Ford. But they got us at a very important time of our life. We were leaving home, making that transition to being
especially a man. For me.
Yeah. You left home.
I'm leaving.
You're talking about home. Yeah. And, like, to be able to not only prepare us for being the best basketball player, but preparing us for, like, life. Being the best man, like just treating people with respect, being humble, like, and you know how it is, Vince, when you're on Carolina campus, everybody knows who you are, and it can, you know, get up there a little bit, but Coach Smith and that staff did an unbelievable job, you know, telling us, like, there's no difference in somebody who's playing soccer or somebody who's in the band, and that's the way that
bro, we had Mia Hamm used to walk around our campus.
I mean, it was unbelievable.
We had Marion Jones walking around on our campus.
So it was great to, like, see, like, man, like, and so many of us, like, different personalities, different backgrounds, but we all came through that program. And, like, man, we think about, like, what you were doing. Brendan Haywood is on TV, and, you know, so many great guys are coaching now. Like, I mean, they do a great job, not only, you know, preparing us and meshing us for being the best basketball team in that particular time, but also, like, preparing us for life. You know, I see Terrence Newby, head coach, they coaching AAU basketball and getting these guests, you know, and I hear T. Newby out there coaching. I'm like, man, you out here coaching, you know, these kids and preparing them for life. And it's just like a great feeling to know that the choice I did make to go to college was the best choice I could have possibly took.
And it was the right one for you, correct? I mean, and it's a bunch of guys who all felt the same. And that's what's cool about it. Hey, I wanted to ask you, when you mentioned Coach Smith, do you have a cool Coach Smith story? You know, in me asking you this, the first thing I think of is who was it? Not Webb. It
was
Charlie McNary runs Coach Smith over, and Coach Smith has his Rolex watch, and he's already, you know, he's pointing, calling, telling us what to do, and Charlie runs my man over. Coach Smith fell down, but he didn't scratch that watch, boy.
Oh, man.
That's one of the ones that, you know, I always remember.
It's two that really sticks out to me. It's one from the basketball perspective and one just from life. I can recall, you know how it is, we in college, we coming into practice, and every once in a while, Antoine, you know, come in my office, I'm like, I don't know what's wrong. And then he would ask me, did you talk to your mom and dad this week? And I'm like,
yep.
Coach, I'm in college. I'm not supposed to be talking to my mom and dad. And he'll call me now. We're going to call him after practice. And he would do that periodically. And I'm just like,
sure enough,
why has he got me talking to my mom and dad? And as you know, once we left school, he was still keeping in contact with our parents. And that was kind of like, if you knew Coach Smith, you knew, like, family and making sure and checking up on family was important. And I remember my junior year, and I had some success. And like I said, ACC first team and things of that nature. And I remember we had a game. And Vince, I think we was like, we won by like 20 or 30. And you know how those film sessions are. I don't care what you did. You remember how bad
I was on a lot of them
used to get? Because we thought we... Because Adamo used to always have the most plus points. And that's like the
absolutely
charges. And me, it made us want to go out there and, like, you know,
I'm tired of this. I'm about to knock Adamola off his horse.
Yeah,
correct.
So they kind of, like, you know, made us realize just because we scored all these points or you were on SportsCenter with the dunks and stuff, it was the little things that he appreciated. And I remember just, like, it made us take charges. It made us dive on the floor and things of that nature. But I remember in one of those tough film sessions, and we won by 20 or 30, and I got the ball on the perimeter. I was open for a three, and I shot it. And I missed it. And Coach Smith, like, you know, Jameson, is that a good shot? And I'm like, yeah, I was open. He said, you scored almost 20 points in the paint. Get in the paint. Don't be shooting that three. And I'm just like, so it's like, oh, okay, let me, you know, but it's like he always had that talent, and he spoke to you to a point where no matter how much success you had, no matter, like, you know, what you accomplished, it was always still room for improvement. But also, I'm going to make you feel and I'm going to treat you like everybody else, whether it was you, me, or Webb Tindall, or Charlie McNary, or Orlando Melendez. He always did a great job. It's like, no, we are in this together. No one is above, you know, the university and the basketball program. But those are kind of like two of the things that I always stuck out. I always checking on family and, like, you know what? You're not going to be feeling yourself. I'm going to put you down just like everybody else as you.
Okay. Hey, I was just about to say, I'm about to give you a story. You remember my freshman year, right? Ooh, I get the dunk. I scored back to back, got the dunk, and I was trying to hype the crowd up, throw my hands up, and he called a timeout, man, and in front of everybody, he's like, we don't do that here. We don't, he's like, we don't throw our hands up asking everybody to cheer for me. He said, that's all you're doing. I was just like, huh?
Yeah.
Remember the time I dunked and I did the bow?
Yeah. Hey, bro. Yeah. I'm sitting there with a towel in my face. I was like, uh-oh. But that's the thing. That's the one thing. You know, we talked about this all the time.
But it was teaching me how to be a professional, bro.
And being your sweet mate, I mean, we had those moments when you was just like, what am I doing wrong? But that was, and you hear people say all the time, it was only one person that could stop Michael Jordan. That was Coach Smith. But I think he prepared Mike for what he accomplished. He prepared not only yourself, Rasheed Wallace, Jerry Stackhouse, all these guys, you know, Mac Torrence, even though it might not have been on the basketball side, but just how to treat people better and how to, like, you know, do the things that he's doing. So, I mean, it was bigger, man. Sometimes we never understood where he was coming from or, like, you know, we were just being kids, but it prepared us for, like, life just after basketball and more important things as well.
Man, I agree with that 100%. And that was kind of, I don't want to use the word the wake-up call, but, man, I learned a lot. It's like, okay, man, ease up, brother. Like, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. I enjoyed the game. I was so thankful to be in there. And, like, you know, I that was my way of, like, really showing my appreciation. But I understood what he was saying. And like you say, a lot of them film sessions and those one-on-ones in that office, I had a bunch of those, particularly my freshman year. And, yeah, I remember we had those conversations about in between the freshman and sophomore year, but it was – about just the frustrations, like wanting to play more, felt like I deserved and earned the right to play up there. So he's like, you know, this is an important summer for me. So I did just that. And obviously my sophomore year.
Do you think going through that adversity, because like I said, I didn't hit it until I got to the league, but you really experienced, especially like your freshman and your sophomore year. Do you think that's why you had that instant success once you made it to the next level?
So, yeah, particularly the freshman year. I think my freshman year when it was, you know, I was like, when I scored, I felt like I was doing wrong.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? And I would come out the game, and I remember the one time he took me out of the game when I had scored a couple points and they booed him.
Yeah.
And I had never heard in my life, like, y'all booing Coach me. I had nothing to do with this, my man. Please, don't take it out on me. But I think that summer made me work harder, just get better and like, okay. I got to fine-tune everything. And I think because of that, it helped our team. It made the game easier for you. And I say that because you're not going to just key on you now and just leave us open. Yeah. You had to respect what we did, which I think helped you go to the next level. Because now you can't – I mean, obviously, we had shooters and, yes, Shimon. But it's just like I felt like I had to show – dig deep and see what I was made of and show him, like, you brought me here for a reason. And, you know, it's hard to imagine, like, transferring, you know, the word, it was out there. It was rumors that I was transferring. I'm like, bro, where are they getting this from?
Yeah.
It's just, I am frustrated, but, like, I'm not giving up this. Give up this. Yeah. Like, this is the life. And you know, it became what it became. And next thing I know, we are in the Final Four. Yeah. And I was like, it was all worth it. You know, it didn't feel good, but it was all worth it.
I remember the time, because by my junior year, I guess the way to stop me was to be physical. And and I remember that time we was practicing, and I didn't know this at the time, but I guess afterwards he told Charlie McNary, every time Antoine get the ball, foul him. We're not gonna call fouls. And I'm just, I mean, Charlie was just, you know.
And I remember this.
And I'm just like, I'm
you
like,
wanted,
coach.
You wanted to beat Charlie up.
They looking at me, they're like, because you know me, because I never got to the point where I got like angry or like.
Right.
And I was like, Charlie, if you foul me one more time and don't. And I remember we running down the court, and I apologize to Charlie all the time, and I kind of pushed him over water drinks and stuff was that. But, like, that prepared me, Vince, because had I not gone through, like, just the little thing, because I had a lot of success early, you know, that time I had adversity, once I got to the league, not only what I went through, but, like, being able to talk to you because you was talking to me in college, like, that stuff made me to the point where, you know, I can deal with, you know, that craziness that I had to deal with for 16 years and so forth. So,
16 years, bro. Just think about that. All of
16, but I think you did 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, exactly. 5 more years. Oh, man. This is 16 was tough. And I remember the main reason for me is when I went to the Clippers, and I told Doc, I said, Doc, I'm not worried about playing time. I just want an opportunity to win. I've made this money. I've had success, individual success, team success. That's when they had Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, all those guys. And I remember something happened. I ended up getting traded midway through the season. It was just like, and I was just mentally, I was.
Where'd you get traded to? Cleveland?
Atlanta.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, and I was just like, you know what? I'm done. But for me, I was mentally just drained. Like, how did you, another 4 or 5 more years of like, just not what you're doing just to your body. And that, well, I'll tell you one thing. At that particular time, the NBA needed vets like yourself who can like guide these young guys that had no guidance or not been around leadership before. So I get it, but like that was even tough. That's one thing I tell people all the time is that you was able to adjust being the man to like, you know, when you was in New Jersey and things of that nature. That's the reason why you last. But a lot of these players can't humble themselves and put their ego to the side and like do what's best for the team. And that's an attest to what happened at Carolina going through the things that we went through as well.
And Twan, for some reason, as much as it was mentally draining, I still loved it. And I got new life because I had to find a new way to be effective.
Yeah.
For so many years, I was the go-to guy, blah, 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 blah. Then I became a role player and I just enjoyed it till I didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it was tough. Like, it's for a lot of reasons. You know, as you get older, they look at you like, you know, you're in your 40s. You shouldn't be playing. But I felt like I was productive. Yeah. You know, and you know, you deal with that side of it. You know, that, you know. And I remember I used to ask you all the time, like, bro, I heard there's some spots available. You trying to play? You like, don't call me.
Vince, like, when I travel with the team for like maybe a week or so, bro, like, I'm like, how did I do this?
I did this.
It's just the travel. And I'm not playing. I get to the, you know how it is. You get to the hotel that night, shoot around, get to the gym early, watch the game, get on the plane. I'm just like, it's just, and that's the thing too, people like, do you miss it? And I'm like, no, because every practice, every game, I try to play 82 as much. Like, I gave everything I possibly could. So if I was just BSing doing practice or I didn't, you know, play as many games as I could, maybe I felt like I had some more left in the tank, but I gave the game all that I could and I was playing that game since I could remember. So that was tough, man. I remember coming in last season, I'm just like, how is this guy not only just on a team, but like you said, you was effective and you was playing. And it's unfortunate what happened with, like, you know, COVID and things of that nature. But I was in awe, man, because I just like, I was done 5 years ago. I don't understand how my guy's still going out there smiling. I'm just, kudos to you.
I enjoyed it till I got home. And I was like, oh my God, I need to go to sleep, brother. Let me go to sleep so I can be good for tomorrow.
Man, you still drunk. I saw you on the other night. I'm like, how?
I don't know. I dig deep.
Man, I'm out there with Duncan. Man, that took everything. I got to do like a running start, and I'm barely getting there. I didn't have hops then, but I was like, ain't no way. And I'm sitting there, you off the like vert just. Yeah, that's an attest to the athlete you were, but it's no way, buddy. But you can't bend over to read your putts. That's the thing that kills me, though.
That's all right. That's all right. I figured it out. I do, I stand further back.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this. It's funny you say about the travel. I did a Nets Wizards game. I called you to see if you're in town, but we did the Nets Wizards. Yeah. So I was in D.C. and got in hotel and caught the bus over. And it was strange for me. So in 22 years, I never had not been on the first bus. I either was before the first bus or on the first bus.
Yep.
I was on, they have 3 buses now. And I was on the third bus and I was like, what is this? Like, and it's like players that play on the third bus. Like, it was just weird for me because I've just never done it. I was like, before, we're talking about before Uber, you know, we catching cabs and stuff. Like, or whatever. Or if I'm on the first bus in New Jersey, RJ and I used to race. It literally off the bus would run to the locker room to race to see who the first one to get on the court. I mean, it was just strange for me, man.
It's funny you say that because I remember when I got drafted, I had Mookie Blaylock, John Starks, Terry Cummins, Chris Beal. Muggsy was there too. And I remember our first preseason game, we played in SAC. get a call on my phone, and it's John Starks. He's like, "Rook, you ready to go?" I'm like, "Bus not for another hour and a half." He said, no, we don't go on the bus. We go before everybody get there." So it was John Starks, because I was the same way. Like, I had to be there before everybody because I had to get my routine down. And then I just needed so much time to, like, decompress and just, like, focus on the game. But John Starks was the vet that told me, no, we beat the bus, the first bus to the arena. And, like, just the workout that he had me going through. And I'm like, but I'm sitting there like, this man has played so many years, and this is why he's able to do that. So it already instilled in me to, like, no, we got to be before the first bus. So I was that way until I got to D.C. And Gil, we used to fight all the time about who was going to be the first one. And Gil was doing some crazy stuff. I'm like, Gil, I'm just sitting down and taking naps. He was there all, you know, so much earlier than I was. But I get what you're saying about, you know, now it's like everybody's on the last bus and you got like, what, an hour 15 to get ready. That's it.
My workout time, not until such. I just wanted to be, I mean, obviously I got my nap and did what I needed to do. But as soon as I finished shoot around, I got my meal and I went straight to sleep. Got my rest. Got my rest, and then, you know.
Oh, you going to get your rest, man.
I'm going to get at least an hour and a half. It had to happen. Yeah, hey, let me ask you about that, and then I'm going to go backwards a little bit. But once you finished playing, how many years were you still taking your nap? You know, probably midday, like that 12, 1, 2 o'clock, you know, I guess the typical NBA nap time. How many years after?
Yeah, it happened at least, I would say, 3 years after, because once I retired, I got a call from Spectrum LA, the Lakers, to do, like, you know, TV, probably like a week out of the month. So I was going back and forth to LA, and it was the same thing. Like, I took a nap before I had to get ready to go on air and things of that nature, because it's taxing. And we was doing pregame, halftime, and postgame. So I was getting to the arena, especially if it was an East Coast game, probably like 2 o'clock, and I wasn't getting home to about like 11. So I was just already trained, and that was like my routine to get a nap. But then after that, when I started scouting, it wasn't to the point where I needed to do those things. But like, if I got to take Ava to school, she got to be at 7:45. I get up at like 6:30, take her to school, go work out. Then I come back and take a nap. So I still take my nap for me every once in a while. But I mean, I'm with you. Like, we was just, that was like our ritual, our routine for like
ever.
Long time, because we wasn't able to do it in college certain days we had school and then practice and stuff like that. But I mean, we was young, you know, we didn't know any better. But it was probably a good 2 or 3 years after I got done.
Yeah, it was three years for sure. This year, not so much. I'm 4 years out now, so
you still taking naps?
No, I'm saying this year. Okay. But some days about that time, I'm just like, oh man.
Oh, I just told you. Every time I do early morning carpool, I come back and take a nap.
I know all about that too.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of a stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, then look no further than the Marketing School Podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast in the United States and number 15 on business in the United States. And it has amazing guests such as Alex Hormozi, Layla Hormozi, Cody Sanchez. We pull in these amazing interviews with other people that are not only great marketers, but actual operators. And the icing on the cake is Neil and myself were also operators as well. So we share learnings from the trenches. We share secrets that we otherwise wouldn't be sharing with other people. And we also share other advantages that will help you get ahead of your competition. So all you have to do is listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What does December 3rd and December 6th mean to you?
Oh, man, December 3rd, December 6th. December 3rd was the day that I felt like I had my coming out party. In December, you said 6th? That was the day I played with probably...
You kept the party going.
Second and third player in the history of the NBA. We had probably a very historic night for both of us.
And for those of you who don't know, December 3rd, Twan played versus the Seattle Supersonics. 51 points, 14 rebounds, 23 for 36. You were getting them things up. The reason I wrote this down because it's like I said, 51 points, 14 rebounds, 23 for 36, 2 for 7 from three. And the reason I'm saying that, for 51 points, we're seeing now obviously more shots, but you only took 7 and 4 free throws. You're 3 for 4 from the free throw line in 48 minutes. You played the whole game.
Wow. I played the whole game. I didn't know how to play the whole game.
It was not overtime. It was, yeah. You know,
48 minutes.
So and that's it. Was, and then you come around with your next performance back to back. And at the time, you were what? Like I said, I think you were one of two guys, and I think Cole was the other one.
Yep.
At the time, that scored back to back 50s or something like that. And well, obviously Will, but December 6th, you played the Lakers. You had 51 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 21 for 29. That boy was efficient that night. 21 for 29. 2 for 5 from three, 7 for 8 from the free throw line in 53 minutes.
Okay, that was overtime. Yeah,
so that one was in overtime. Yeah. And on the flip side, Kobe had 51 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, 18 for 35. He was only...
That was his first 51-point game, though, what? 50-point game, I think. That
was his first... Because this was in 2000, so...
Yeah, that was his first, yeah. Not to cut you off, but I think that was his first.
2 for 7 from three, and he was 13 for 13 from the free throw line in 51 minutes, and he had 8 turnovers.
Yeah.
And I had to go down and look, and I was like, all right, man, did I get – and he had a long list of 40 and 30 balls, and I had to see if I was a part of any of those. And, you know, you gave New Jersey, I think, a 37-piece, but we won, so that's all that matters.
Who's guarding me that night?
It wasn't me. Hey, I played the 2 at that time. Wasn't me. Even though I will say, I remember, I'll never forget the joy we had. Obviously, at draft night, everybody who knows us knows about draft night. You get in. It was the weirdest thing for me seeing you get drafted to Toronto when you didn't work out for them. And obviously, I get drafted by Golden State. We get traded for each other. The funniest thing ever, and I still laugh at, I remember, obviously, it was all nerves for me living in the moment. You see the draft, and now I'm about to go up and shake the commissioner's hand like we've seen for years you know, of our lives, you know, whatever, whatever. And I remember walking up those steps and seeing you trying to say something to me. I'm like, bro, what? What are you saying? I don't know what you're telling. What you saying? And come to find out, you were telling, we're about to get traded for each other, fool. Yeah. Oh, that's what you said. Yeah. So it was just the craziest thing. But to go through all of that, and I just remember the fun times we had, particularly the first 2 years, regardless. And like I said, I know the conversations we had when you were talking about, you know, I mean, obviously the struggles, but it was, I think it brought joy to you like it did for me, that not only we were teammates for 3 years, we've gone through all that we've gone through, now we get to play each other in the NBA that we talked about for all those years, and just to go at each other and have a good time. Like, bro, I still remember it like it was yesterday. Go ahead. Say what you're about to say. Well, I know you're about to say something crazy. Go ahead.
The thing about it, though, Vince, every time we played each other, you can see, like, our teammates, and, like, I don't think we played each other. I mean, of course, you know, we were going up against each other and trying to stop each other, but we had fun. We talked so much trash to one another, and, like, even still to this day, if we're on the golf course.
Forget that. You used to say some below-the-belt stuff, though. Like,
I said the truth. I spoke the
you
truth, my brother.
You said some below-the-belt stuff to get me off my game.
I think it starts with a Z, or I don't know what it is. But, like, we had fun, man. The banter that we had was just, like, and I forgot who it was. I'm like, man, you and Vince are, like, just y'all fools out there. But we competed. But that's the thing. That's the joy that you're talking about, is that we went through, we did the mile run together, Carolina, the running of the stairs, like dealing with Coach Smith and the disappointment of not winning at all, but the enjoyment of we were sweet mates and things of that nature. And like we grew up having this vision, and then what happened on draft night, and then fast forward many years down the road, whether I was in D.C. or Cleveland or you was in Memphis, or bro, we had fun and we talked so much junk, and that's what it was all about. Like, I got the opportunity to do it with, like, Siobhan a little bit, but, like, nobody on that team I was able to do that with, and I did it for 16 years, and never a dull moment. It was always bringing us back to our childhood when we was at Carolina and just all the great times that we had, but man, we definitely enjoyed playing one another. That was like one always the highlight of my year. To like, okay, when I'm gonna play? Oh, that day, all right. And we're gonna do dinner.
Yeah, especially when we used to come out for pregame and just catch up. Like, so, and I'm gonna tell you another moment that I always remember that I enjoyed was clearly, like I said, us playing against each other. But in 2005, All-Star Denver, we got to be on the same team. You know, now, and you know, obviously some in the magazine, in the Carolina program, they have that picture. Of course, you played in 2008 in New Orleans? As well. Yeah, but what was that like for you, man?
To me, that was what it's all about, because, like, I've been able to go on this journey with my brother, and we'll accomplish so many things. And, like, being on SportsCenter, being able to, you know, be in an All-Star game with you was just like, man, this is what it's all about. Because we had that vision. And the only thing I wish we could have done together but wasn't able to do it was the Olympic team. But, like, just to, like, go through those All-Stars and, like, man, we not only went to college and had success, but we are on the biggest stage playing against the best basketball players in the world, and we're in the All-Star game. And I recall just remember seeing it like on TV, and then like not only make it to the All-Star game, but to do it alongside my brother and compete against Kobe Bryant and, like, you know, those guys, Shaquille O'Neal and Kevin Garnett and
Duncan,
Dirk, you know, all those guys. I mean, it was unbelievable feeling to be able to experience all of the success and be able to do it with you for such a long time.
What was one of your favorite NBA teams that you played on? And it doesn't have to be as far as success, like a team that you genuinely enjoyed. I mean, if it wasn't,
I say that it's too, you know, Golden State. Of course, that is a team that drafted me, and I learned so much. Travis Stanley with the organization, Raymond Ritter, those guys, like, they kind of molded me, you know, for the moment. And I remember going to Dallas, and it was the first time I experienced. They had Dirk, Steve Nash, Michael Finley, they brought me, Danny Forrest, Tony Duck, so many guys. But that was the first time I experienced three superstars not worrying about the credit and just like having success and like really, you know, being there for each other. But, you know, the times I had in DC were probably my favorite because the organization was really struggling. And to have the turnaround we had with myself, you know, Gilbert Arenas, of course, Karan, Larry Hughes, and those guys, like, that's where, like, you know, a majority of the kids was born at. So, like, D.C. has a special place in my heart. And, of course, working for them the last couple of seasons. But I just remember, like, that city, man. Every time I go back, Vince, it's just, like, you know, it's unbelievable. And my time in Cleveland was kind of a little difficult because LeBron, I thought, was going to be there, but he left. And it was kind of like a rebuilding stage that I had with, at that particular time, Washington. And the Lakers to play with the great Kobe Bryant was unbelievable for a year. And then, of course, what happened with the Clippers, man, it was – D.C. was definitely probably my favorite place because of the amount of time I spent there and, like, being in the community. But all the Golden State, Dallas, you know, Washington, Cleveland, the Lakers, man, was unbelievable.
So the Wizards, basically. I mean, because y'all were – consistently.
And that's the thing, we were so close. But
y'all kept running to that boy over there.
This kid from Akron, Ohio, you know, made sure that didn't happen. And just like, then we got to the point where it was just a little bit too many outside distractions that prevented us from really hitting our potential. But, you know, we learned a lot. And like, of course, you know, I see Karan, he coaching with Miami. We talk about those times. And of course, Gilbert, you know, Brendan, he stays up the street. So we were teammates for a while. And, you know, he talked about his Eddie Joy days and things of that nature. But,
yes.
I mean, it was good times. Like, you know, me and Jerry Jeffries talked, so it was fun to be there.
What's it been like for you in your current role in the personnel spot? Like, I mean, obviously I remember you've worked your way up to, you know, you were a scouting, and now you're kind of like, you're making moves, man. How has that been, man? Like, I mean, I know it's a different side of it, but at the same time, it's a very influential, important part of the organization as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's been the closest thing to playing. You get those competitive juices to be part of the behind the scenes.
Well, make a comeback then.
No, believe me. My back and my knees, otherwise, I can't
do that. You sit yourself somewhere.
But it gives me to be behind the scenes, to put this team and his organization in position to do something that I still haven't done, which is to win a championship. That's the one thing that keeps me going. You know, it kept me going as a player, and now being a part of organization and like, you're going to be part of the reason why we be successful. I got a great group of coworkers who I'm still learning, guys that I've been, you know, coworkers for that's kind of took me underneath their wings, you know, Johnny Rogers, you know, Frank Ross, Dickie Simpson, who played for the Bulls and those
That's
things.
My guy.
I mean, they are teaching me things every day, Vince, about this part that, and I've always humbled myself because I've always want to learn. I always want to be surrounded by people who can, you know, elevate me as well. And it's just been good to be able to humble myself and not carry myself as Antoine Jameson, the basketball player, but like Antoine Jameson, who's part of a whole different team that I enjoy it. You can say the same thing, but I say this, I never worked a day in my life playing the game and getting paid to watch basketball and you get paid to like talk about it and things of that nature. So I've been fortunate, man. It's been a great experience and the people that I've been surrounded by have been unbelievable and I continue to learn, you know, every time I get on a phone call or every time I watch a game and sending my notes in, it's just been unbelievable.
Being a GM, I know we had this conversation before. We were in a situation where it was a possibility, but, you know, here we are. I think that was, what, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah.
Or maybe 2-3 years ago, really. It wasn't that long ago. Do you still have those aspirations of being a GM or, you know, you're enjoying where you are?
Yeah.
And my follow-up, what about coaching?
I would never coach.
Okay.
Because you got to think about it. I mean, first one in, last one to leave. When things go right, don't get no credit. When things go wrong, you first one out of there. But I just remember
No loyalty to coaches. I'm with you.
Not only that, but like towards the end of my Washington, Cleveland days, I was kind of a player coach because I had to relate to these young players. And that's why I like the position I'm in now, because from my side, doing practices, I go in and talk to a DD out there about, I know what's going on with your head, but it's hard for them to understand it hearing from the same voice every day.
All the time, coach. Yeah, for sure.
And I just can't keep up that schedule. That schedule is just too brutal for me. Eventually, Vince, I would love to. I think the thing that is preventing me from achieving that quicker is because of Alexis is already in grad school, but Catherine, Rucker, AJ, and Ava.
Your family, yeah.
Yeah. When we was coming up, we had Catherine and Kai at a young age, and we was just always gone, man. Between practicing and playing, the whole Catherine experience is just like, wow. And now that I'm retired, you know, AJ and Rucker playing basketball, I want to be able to, if I do be in a position to be a GM, I have to be able to not only give it my all, but be able to like mesh the two together. And I think right now I cannot do that, especially if I want to be there for like all the games, most of the games. And now Ava's playing tennis. I want to like be there at this important stage for us. So if it does happen, it'd be a blessing, but I don't see it happening in the next couple of years because Ruck is 14. So by the time Ruck is like 16, 17, about to go to college, then I could see myself giving it all because Ava would be like 10 or 11 and things of that nature. Vince, he's about 6'4", 6'5". I mean, he's getting there, man. He's getting there. So right now, I just think the family aspect is like taking a more important role than like trying to career-wise get to that point right now. But I have no problem going at the pace. Like I said, I'm learning every day. I'm learning from the new guys we got now, Will Dawkins and Travis, and those guys have been unbelievable. So I love it. I love learning. I love trying to understand this generation of basketball players and the way the game is being played. Like, if we still going to have this amount of three-pointers taken 10 years from now, or we're going to go to a different type of style of basketball. But, I mean, it's just unbelievable to see the skill set that these players have. And just in awe of, like, the way the game has changed and to, like, kind of, you know, fixate my mind and get away from what we did but kind of implement to what they're doing to the game.
And how has that transition been for you? Because, I mean, it's like now you're looking at seven-footers like, oh, man.
It's about time.
Can he shoot the three more so than what does his post moves look like?
Yeah, but, you know, think about when we came out, if you were – especially like in high school, if you was tall, like you get the paint, but now it doesn't make a difference. And that's the one thing.
That's what I'm saying.
You got to have a skill set. You got to be able to put the fundamentals down. I think back then it was just, we was known for being very athletic and quick and things of that nature. But you see guys like Jokic and Luka coming over here like, look, we ain't got to be quick. We ain't got to be athletic. We are skilled. And that's the way I see the game now. The game now, think about it, like, the game now is so much skilled and when we play, it's unbelievable. People like, you know, when y'all play, those guys play, man, these guys are skilled. Imagine, like, Jokic playing in, like, the 60s and the 70s. I mean, he can do it all. And, like, that's the one thing. It's been smooth because I've always, you know, try to, like, just, you know, and I do kind of, the game will be changing, but, like, the thing that's been difficult for me is that sometimes when we talk to these guys, the passion and like just like for us, Vince, like, you know, it was like this was it. And we played at a certain level. We played with a certain type of like pace and things of that nature. And sometimes we played. You know, we wouldn't sit there with our guys, sitting there going, you know, behind them. I didn't start working on the skill set till like midway through my career, but think about the times I'm going back to like when we was in college, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, we was out there like playing pickup games.
Yeah.
And
now, hey, New Year's Eve.
Yeah, it was like, that was it.
Getting it in, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
The thing, I think the biggest adjustment is that when we get these players now, it's almost like we're teaching them how to play because they are skilled to the point where they can, you know, the left hand, they can do all these other things, but the playing aspect and like the understanding of the game has to be taught because a lot of guys are able to make that quick transition when we play, but it's kind of been a little difficult for a lot of the young guys.
Yeah, and because I mean, you talk about that, and I just say that because you look at like a Wimby who coming in, Chet yeah. Holmgren, we're talking about 7'2" plus with a skill set. You know, you said you're looking at skill set. Now you're talking about 7'2" plus guys with a skill set, with the ability to shoot the three, put the ball on the floor, and can post up,
yep.
You know, like a nice hand, whatever, can get in the paint, can make plays off the dribble, things that are that take time for guys. They're coming in with a version of that already.
Yep.
It's just, I mean, I know for you, I mean, obviously for me as a fan watching, obviously talking about it, it's just fun. But I bet that's, I mean, for you now scouting, watching college basketball, so you're looking at now what skill set do you have? Not because, oh, he's a big body, he's strong. Okay, so what?
Yeah, some guy, what can he do? Something has to stand out. Something has to catch your eye, whether they're just a super athletic guy or skill big, or he could just flat out shoot the ball. Something has to catch your eye. And then from our experience as far as playing the game and being around it, and understanding the way the game is being played now and trying to just see it in the future for 10 years down the road, can that translate to the next level? Or he got all these tools in his belt, but he wouldn't need this one tool to be able, like myself, like I couldn't shoot the ball. In order for me to sustain and be in the league for 16 years, I had to learn how to shoot it.
But it for a long time, you had the ability to still score. You run the floor. You had a high motor. Yeah. So I still felt like you had a skill set that can still last in the league. Now, it was the evolution of the game, I feel like, as you transitioned to year 10 for us.
Yeah.
The game started to change. Now the stretch four became more of a priority, which, I mean, benefited you because you went from just, I'm not going to say strictly post play because you still had the mid-range, but you were stepping out to 18, 20 feet or whatever the case may be, shooting the three. Now it's like pick and pop.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be in the paint. Yeah. Now he out there shooting three. So you, but there again, we were prepared for it.
Yeah.
You know, just understanding and your willingness to learn and change and adapt. That was what did it for me, is my willingness to adapt to new role, new asks of me and everything. Yeah. And, you know, I was still willing to do it. So, man, anyway, I'm going to let you get out of here, but I appreciate, you know, always you coming here blessing the VC show season 2. I had to get my guy on here first to kick off the new season. Thank you to iHeart for bringing me back so I can bring you on and talk great basketball. Shout out to all the Carolina fans out there because, I'm sure you guys enjoyed this. We were on before, but, like, we wanted to kind of bring it back again, man. Appreciate you, man.
You know, it's never ask, my brother. I love you. You know, anything
yes, sir.
You need. You know, we've been brothers for... It's been a long time, so always a pleasure to talk to you, man, and continue to get in these people's ears and to their living rooms and bring them something today. I know they would love to hear you conversate with so many great just individuals, so I'm just blessed to be a part of it again. You know, it won't be a problem next time, so I love you, man, and say hey to your mom and the kids.
And every time you on, you know, I got to say, man, shout out to Adamola Elijah, man. We love you, brother.
Always.
You know, you'll never be forgotten. We're definitely always going to talk about you, man. So for those who don't recall, man, go look him up, man. He's our brother. He's a great dude, man. He can light up a room.
Yeah.
You know, you might not be able to understand what he say all the time, but that man would light up a room, man.
That's so, our brother, boy.
Shout out to our Tar Heel family as well. And much love, man. Thank you again, brother.
Anytime, my brother. Appreciate it.
What a trip down memory lane with Antoine, man. Shout out to him. All right, our upper room dunk of the week clip, none other than, you guessed it, Anthony Edwards. I mean, it needs no introduction. Just sit back and enjoy. And then I'll explain.
Edwards gets it back and threw it down.
Oh, my goodness.
And one.
Oh,
from the rafters.
Goodness. One, let's talk about John Collins, my former teammate, John Collins was known as John the Baptist, who has baptized a lot of people, not only to get dunked on, he was concussed, if you would, right here. If you watch, the left arm hits John right in the face. And you see, once the contact knocks him down, they said he got a concussion. And then you look at Anthony Edwards' left finger dislocated.
Antetokounmpo's hurt his hand on that too. That was ridiculous. Immediately looked down at his hand.
As much as the highlight, you see the finger. Good gracious. But here, as a dunker, when you see errant opportunity, you take advantage of it. He's one of those guys that, you know, you have a decision to make. And I think midway, obviously John got hit in the face, but midway John knew he made a bad decision on trying to block this, especially with the athlete like Anthony Edwards with this momentum. You see here, here's the bounce pass.
Edwards gets it back!
1-2 and a lean. Anytime, if I can get up in the air before you and I can lean, meaning I can hit you first, I'm going to win. And this kind of reminds me of what I what I did to Alonzo Mourning, is that I got up first and I was leaning up in the air first. So any contact that I received helped me, just like Anthony Edwards. He got up first. He's leaning. He can absorb contact, obviously, and go a little higher. And that was the ending result. That was our Upper Room Dunk of the Week. Our next segment is, who did I run into this week? Last week, I got the opportunity to play in the Arnold Palmer Invitational Pro-Am. And I was paired up with Trevor Lawrence, Colin Morikawa, and Baron Corbin, who is a WWE wrestler, for those of you who don't know it. It was a great group. We did not win. Learned a lot, had a good time. I played golf with Trevor in a tournament or two before, so I kind of knew him already. So it was a great time, great group. I played okay. The rough at Bay Hill was insane. But, you know, anytime you get an opportunity to play with a professional in any sport, me being a former professional, just like those other two guys, we were tuned in, watching and learning. And it was a great, great time, great opportunity. I wish I played better. But yeah, that's who I ran into. Shout out to those guys. I appreciate you guys for obviously allowing me to be a part of the group and watching me do my thing a little bit. And our last segment is shout outs. Since we had Antoine Jamison on, you guys know where he went to school. My shout out goes to Hubert Davis and RJ Davis. Hubert Davis, who was the ACC Coach of the Year, RJ Davis, who was the ACC Player of the Year, and both of those are nominated for the National, obviously, award for both. So shout out to those guys. Good luck to them. Obviously, good luck to my Tar Heels as they go through the tournament. It's going to be tough, but I always have faith. And it's always a great day to be a Tar Heel. Signing off, I appreciate everybody. Thank you for joining us. What, season two is now back. Subscribe to us, follow us, keep us in your mind, kick your feet up every week. The VC Show signing off. Let's go!
Hey, what's that show?
It's the VC Show.
Hey, what's that show?
It's the VC Show.
Hey, what's that show?
It's the VC Show.
It's the VC Show.
Season two, let's go!
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.